Welcome to High Tide, Low Tide, the podcast where we talk about all things mental health and where we share our stories with the knowledge that it could just be the lifeline of hope for someone who is hurting and afraid that they're the only one. I'm your host, Lisa Scanlon, and I am so glad that you're here with me today. Today's episode is sponsored by my wonderful friend and previous guest, Trin. High Tide, Low Tide is very much a passion project, and so support like this is super appreciated. If you would like to support High Tide, Low Tide by sponsoring an episode, or if you're of a business that is aligned with High Tide, Low Tide's values, please give me a call and we can set something up. I hope you enjoy. Hey guys, and welcome back to High Tide, Low Tide. I am very happy that you've decided to join me again today, and I'm even happier that I have this wonderful guest here joining me today, and her name is Rebecca King. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Fabulous. And thank you so much for giving me some of your Saturday.
You're welcome. It's a beautiful day here, and I'm happy to give you some.
Fabulous. Awesome. So we might just start off if you'd like to just give us a little bit of information about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, as you said, my name is Rebecca and I am the brain changer. And when I say that, people are quite often intrigued as to what does that actually mean? And essentially what it means is that I help people learn how to retrain their brain. So changing the stories in their head, these stories that we tell ourselves, that we've been telling ourselves for years, that other people have been telling us, you know, creating new neural pathways in order to create the outcome that we really want, as opposed to the one that we might have somehow fallen into. And we do that with our business Moonbeam Monday training and coaching. And I say we, so just to let you know who the we is, I am one half of Moonbeam Monday, but my business partner is also my mum,
Yvonne. Oh, that's beautiful. I actually didn't know that.
So we're a mother-daughter duo. And we started this a couple of years ago together because we really noted with I guess the experiences that we had both had in our lives and what we had overcome, we realized there was a bit of a gap in the market, and with what we had learned with neuro-linguistic programming and how, or NLP, so I'll probably refer to it as NLP.
Yeah.
With what we had learned and what we'd both done for ourselves with NLP, we realized that this was something that everyone needed to know about.
Yeah.
And that's why we both became NLP master practitioners and why we do what we do through Moonbeam Monday.
Wonderful. Who did you do your NLP courses through?
Rick Schnabel from Life Beyond Limits.
He Wonderful.
Is actually the coach who changed my life. And I actually credit him with saving my life, Lisa. So I was introduced to Rick through my mum, actually. She met him down another rabbit hole. But he was well known to be able to cure, big word, cure mm-hmm. depression.
Okay.
And I went into that going, yeah, right, whatever. You mm-hmm. know, I've been telling myself for years and years and years that depression is incurable, anxiety is incurable, it's just something that you have to live with because that's what I had been told. Mm-hmm. And I was introduced to Rick and went in feeling quite skeptical about mm-hmm. the process. But I spent some time being coached by him. And what do you know? It worked.
Yeah.
And I was able to eliminate depression and chronic anxiety. And so I went on to train with him as well.
That's fantastic. And obviously we're going to delve into sort of how we got there shortly. But I just find a lot of people would probably hear you say, cured depression and be a little hesitant around that. Yeah. So I'm super excited that we're going to sort of talk through that.
Yeah.
And I've actually done my NLP course also.
Excellent.
So I'm really going to enjoy this conversation because there's not that many people that I talk to who've done training in it before. Awesome. So I did my practitioner training, but I've not ever practiced it as a practitioner, is that how you would say it? Yeah. So I more so did it for myself so
awesome.
I could learn.
I love that.
Yeah. And I find the whole topic super, super interesting. So it I'm really, is. Yeah, really excited Ooh, about this. So what else about you? Like, what are some of the things that you like doing outside of work or different hobbies you have?
Yeah, I've got a variety of hobbies. I love being outdoors. So I'm a cyclist, mm-hmm. and yes, I am one of those cyclists that wears Lycra and gets into their pedals and rides up in the hills. Mm-hmm. Not so much lately. I love riding along the beach. So that's a big part of my life. I've got a great little group down here where I live, and we ride regularly. I've done a few, I'm going to say three now, charity rides, because fundraising was my previous life, you know, my previous career. And as part of that, but also just part of who I am, I love to give back to the community. So I've used my hobby, I guess, of cycling to raise money as well. What else do I like to do? I'm a bit of an artist, so I love to paint. I was looking at some of your beautiful artwork today, and I'm always drawn to it. I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, I'm not at that particular level, but I don't care. I do it because I love it. I love painting animals and using lots of colours, because colour's really important to me. It makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
And then travel is another love of mine. So I've spent a lot of my life travelling, living and working interstate and overseas, and I just love seeing new places. So that includes in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we're very lucky here in Adelaide. And it's, you know, I often say this when talking with guests at the start of the episode about, oh, Adelaide being Adelaide and all the connections that you end up having.
Yeah.
So you used to work for Breakthrough Foundation?
I did.
Yeah, yes. Which I also didn't know until about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So anyone who's followed me for a little while also knows that I've done and I do work alongside Breakthrough Foundation with different women's mental health events, and I've also helped out with some of their charity bike rides because my job is with Grinders Coffee,
which is where I first saw you. So you made me a coffee before I rode up a hill.
So we had the little Grinders Coffee van set up, and I was there supporting the riders, making sure they were nice and caffeinated before they headed off.
Very necessary.
And so we crossed paths there, but I didn't actually realize that you'd worked for them before, so that's, you know, another nice little connection.
Yep, that's Adelaide. I was their fundraising manager there for a little while, a few years back.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And then how we actually came to connect was that you were at a networking event not so long ago and crossed paths with a girl named Jade. I'm sure she won't mind that I mention her name, who I've known forever, went to school with, and she sort of connected the two of us, basically.
Yeah, that's the power of networking. You know, I work with a lot of people, or come across a lot of people who you mentioned the N word and they're like, oh my God, I hate networking. I don't have the confidence, or whatever it is, of course. I love networking.
Me too.
I absolutely love networking. And I think one of the reasons I love it, Jay, is because of that connection.
Mm.
And you mentioned that a moment ago, and that's a big part of, you know, some of the things that we're doing at the moment in our business is about giving people back that opportunity to connect, because we're so isolated these days. And, you know, even obviously over the last few years, we've become even more isolated, but it's something that's been gradually been happening since the Industrial Revolution, is that we're not so community-based anymore. You know, even when we are in a big office, a big office or a big building working with people, we're in our own little bubble with our headphones in. So this is something that I love, and why I love going out and meeting different people at networking events.
Yeah, it's funny because, I feel like most people would say, they don't like being in those kind of positions or whatnot, but I also really quite enjoy it. And I just think you get to meet the most incredible people and interesting people, and you learn different things. And I do agree in that, you know, at the moment, you know, I've listened to multiple podcasts lately saying that we're in a quote unquote like loneliness epidemic. And so, you know, I actively look for the opportunities to be able to connect with new people, because I've done a podcast on this myself a little while back. I think over the last couple of years, this is the most lonely I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not alone.
You're not.
And I know I'm not alone in saying it either. Yeah. Like, there's many people I have conversations with who feel the same. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely, and it's about how do we, like, navigate that space. And you can't expect to do nothing and have change. So you've got to actively choose.
And actually, that's what I loved. I even wrote it down, you know, your introduction at the beginning of your podcast talking about it's a lifeline of hope for those who are hurting or afraid that they're the only ones feeling this way. And, you know, you're spot on. There's so many of us who feel this way or have felt this way. And, you know, life is like a roller coaster. You'll be in your sweet spot at one point, and even if you're doing the work and you've had lots of growth and personal development, doesn't mean that you won't be back there at some particular point. And that's,
absolutely.
That's the great thing about having that community and support around you, isn't it, is that you've got people there when you need it the most.
Absolutely. So obviously today we're going to talk a bit around your journey with your mental health and then take us through to where we are today. So if we were to sort of take it back to the start or, like is there a time at which you can remember things starting to change?
Yeah, that was when you asked me that question, you know, in preparation for today, I really had to think back because in all honesty, Lisa, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the past these days for a variety of reasons. But yeah, the first time I really remember noticing a change was when I was around 15. So it was a long time ago. My dad had been diagnosed with cancer not long before. There was every expectation that he wouldn't survive, and he didn't. And he and my mum had actually gone on an extended overseas trip because that was one of my dad's dreams, was to travel before he died. Which is fantastic, and I'm so glad that he got that opportunity. But I was left behind. You know, I was, you know, the grandparents looked after me. I was in my final years of school, and I can realise now that I obviously was feeling abandoned. And I remember going to the GP. Now, I don't know what triggered me to go to the GP, but I don't know what I said to him. I can still picture this guy. Isn't that funny? But I remember him saying to me, "Do you think you're depressed?" And I remember that my response to that was kind of like, "Oh, well, awkward. Like, we don't talk about that stuff, do we?" Because, you know, this is 30 years ago, I guess. So that's the first time I remember that word kind of coming up. And I think at that time, you know, I was a teenager, and it was one of those things that, you know, you threw that around as a bit of a, like, I need some attention kind of thing. But we didn't realise what it actually meant. And it wasn't until a few years later that I started to identify myself with that word and start understanding the peaks and troughs and how it worked for me, because it was very cyclical for me. It sort of started at a particular time of the year, and I noticed that that was kind of when my dad started to go downhill, and then it peaked at the time that we lost him, and then I'd slowly come out of it. So for me, it wasn't a big thing to begin with, but it got worse and worse and worse over the years.
And I think that's, you know, fairly common with a lot of people, and sometimes it creeps on so slowly that you don't even realise necessarily what's happening. What were the kind of signs and symptoms or that you experienced, or how was it showing up for you?
For me, I think if I really cast my mind back, if we're talking about the beginning, it was like that cloud. So I know that a lot of your listeners will, you know, will resonate with this, but for me it was like a cloud or a blanket, a heavy blanket feeling on my head. So almost like it was wrapping itself around my brain. And I think today a lot of people call it a fog, right? So it was that foggy feeling of just not wanting to get out of bed, not really understanding why, because no reason that I should be feeling like this, right? Of course, I know differently now. Yeah, so it was just that really foggy feeling, no motivation, feeling lethargic, lackluster, and, you know, sometimes emotional, and not really understanding why.
So at this point, you were still in your teen years?
That was probably moving on, late teens, early 20s,
And so you'd been to the GP at that point. What were the suggestions from them back then?
Look, I
sorry, I didn't mean to say back then. That sounds, no, you know what I mean, I at that time.
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. Yeah, that's Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, moving forward, of course, because I later on I started seeing counsellors, psychologists, mm-hmm. psychiatrists, you name it. I've even been to a witch doctor in Bali.
Ooh.
You know, I thought that I had tried everything.
Yeah, okay.
Until I actually found the thing that worked.
Yeah.
But the suggestions over the years were, and I think this is what makes me angry when I talk about this, Lisa, is that the suggestions that were made to me by the, let's call them healthcare professionals, but I'm using the term very loosely, is that this was simply something I had to learn to deal with, something I had to learn to live with, this feeling, that it was part of me, that, you know, it was a chemical imbalance in my brain, and I would experience this likely for the rest of my life, and that I could find ways to cope with it at that particular time, but... And medication was one of those suggestions for many, many years. And I did actually get to a point in my 30s where I started taking medication.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that just made things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not anti-medication. I'll just put that out there. Mm-hmm. But it's not a solution. Mm-hmm. And it certainly wasn't a solution for me. And I think it's what pushed me into the worst part of my life. But this is what I heard over mm-hmm. and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what were the suggestions? I don't really remember early on.
Yeah.
But no good ones.
Yeah. So I guess like in between that time, you just found a way of managing that yourself, really. And just, like you said, it was kind of up and down, which is common as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, we all go through phases or seasons and, you know, especially I think of myself when it comes into winter, I know I have to actively work on my mental health more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's a distinction I would like to make, Lisa, is that I'm very open at saying publicly that I have eliminated chronic depression and anxiety. It doesn't mean that I never feel blue.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I never have a bad day or that I want to have a day on the couch and cry my eyes out, because guess what? I'm still human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is no one in the world that doesn't experience those things. You know, mm-hmm. it would be strange if you didn't. So, and I still feel anxious in certain situations. You know, if there's a big dog with big and I'm a dog person, but if there's a dog that looks like it's going to rip my arm off,
yeah,
I'm going to feel pretty anxious, right? Because we all need to have that fear in certain situations. Mm-hmm. But I don't identify as having anxiety, and I don't identify as having depression, and that is a massive distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So I mm-hmm. guess going back to your other question, how did I manage it? Yeah, it was me sort of managing it myself. When I felt like it was getting worse, mm-hmm. I booked a session to talk about it mm-hmm. with someone. I would look at natural remedies.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found in those sessions with psychologists, counsellors, that type of thing, is that I was just re-traumatising myself all the time. I was just sat telling the same story mm-hmm. over and over again, which was reinforcing it mm-hmm. in my brain.
Yeah.
Which what I now know, and as you will know as an NLP practitioner, I know you're not practicing, but you're still an NLP practitioner, is that we need to change the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm called the brain changer, is because I've learned how to change that story, and that's what I do for other people now.
Fabulous, yeah. So before we sort of get to, I guess, like how we got to that point, mm-hmm. where, like, can you remember at which point you probably experienced the lowest point, and then we're going to work our way right on back up from there.
Good. Look, it was probably about 4 years ago, although I'm losing, I'm losing time now. Maybe it was 5 years ago. And I guess I hit that proverbial rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I had been through a number of experiences, and I'd been in an emotionally abusive relationship. I had had miscarriages. I had acquired a traumatic brain injury through a stroke. You know, lots and lots of different things. We all have things in life, right? So I had experienced a lot of those things. I had worked in some not so great workplaces, and it had culminated. And so, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, is when I hit my life. It all caught up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where it's almost like the depression wasn't even so much of a problem, because the anxiety had taken over.
Right.
And it had become a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I couldn't get out of bed many days. So I still had a full-time job. I still, you know, had to live my life. And from the outside, it probably looked like it was good. And I know that I'm sure you and many other listeners will resonate with that, is that to everyone else, I had a great life. I travelled. I had the house. I had the car. I had two beautiful dogs, who I still have. I had a great job. I earned plenty of money. But, you know, when I could get out of bed and drag myself to the office, I was miserable. When I couldn't do that, I was stuck literally in the fetal position, wondering how I was going to live the rest of my life. And I remember thinking, if it's this hard right now, I wasn't even 40 at the time, and I thought, I've got at least another 40 years to go, all things going well. I don't want to die, but I have no idea how to live. And if it feels like this, I don't want to do it. That was my lowest point.
Yeah. And when you're in a mindset like that, especially when the anxiety is high, no one talks about how exhausting it is. Like,
anxiety is exhausting.
Oh, like just trying to keep yourself together and manage those feelings that you have inside is so tiring.
Well, that's what I used to spend most of my time doing, was sleeping, because when I was asleep, I didn't have to think about it and it wasn't exhausting. So that's why I spent most of my time sleeping.
Yeah. And I think if you're someone who hasn't experienced anxiety to that level, I think it's good to hear that as an understanding, because if you can't understand what it's like you should feel so grateful that you don't understand, but just to help you, I guess, have that empathy or awareness for other people who might be going through it, and understanding that everyone is doing the best that they can in those kind of situations to just manage day to day.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And, you know, that's one of the NLP presuppositions, if you remember that one, the map is not the territory. So what we see the world as, what we see life as, is just our reality. It's not another person's reality. And you're exactly right. I mean, if you haven't experienced that, and I know there are many people who haven't, and that's wonderful. They may have experienced something else, and those of us who haven't experienced that, you know, need to have empathy and compassion for those people. But you're right, it's not something that you can easily imagine if it hasn't been something you've experienced. And that's why, you know, I said earlier, I don't spend a lot of time in the past anymore, because I don't want to feel like that. And that's the thing, even when you do change your brain, when you do change things, you can go backwards if you allow yourself to do that.
So that experience has led you to obviously coming into contact with this coach?
Yes. I think I mentioned earlier, my mum introduced me to Rick, because she probably hadn't even realised to the extent that I was feeling, and not because she's not a great mum. She's like the best mum in the world. All of you who think you've got the best mum in the world, I've got the best mum. But it was because I didn't let her know. You know, I didn't allow her to see that. But when she realised, I remember her saying to me, you know, I've been doing some coaching with this guy, and I've even done some of his, she'd done an online NLP kind of course with him, and she said, I think you'll find this really interesting, Beck. You know, you're very interested in the brain. And at the time, I'd actually been looking for answers about my brain, because I was experiencing some things that I believe were partially left over from the stroke that I had, which is nearly 14 years ago now. But there were certain hangovers from that, I guess, if you want to call it that, that I couldn't quite understand, and I wanted answers. And I'd been going and searching, like, with professionals, psychiatrists, and they couldn't answer me. And that's when I got fed up. And so that was sort of her in to say, Beck, I think you should talk to this guy, and he can help you overcome this depression, this anxiety. And like I said at the beginning, I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, trying to find an answer, a solution, or help, lasting help for more than 20 years. What's this guy going to do that's different? But I was in such a state that I thought, I've got nothing to lose except my life, literally.
Yeah.
And so I signed up for, you know, I booked a session.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember bits and pieces of that session, because a lot of people say, when was the moment when you realised? I'm like, there wasn't a moment, right? Because it's all compounding. It's like, yes, anything. We suddenly realise, oh, I never used to be scared of that thing, but now I've got a fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be a moment, but it's a compounding thing. And I remember some of the work that we did in that session, and I didn't feel any profound difference like right then and there. But then when a situation came up that we'd been working on, say a week later, and I sort of geared myself, it happened, and I geared myself up to feel a certain way, and it was like, oh, okay, that's not happening.
Mm.
And then a week later, same thing, maybe a month later, same thing. And that's when I sort of started realizing that, maybe there is something to this. I'll keep going. I'll keep having some sessions and working on things. Maybe the suggestions he's making are worth doing.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something in it.
Yeah. So to anyone who's listening who maybe has not heard of NLP before, can you just give us a bit of an explanation like an easy way to understand what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. It's NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So, of course, neuro, we're talking about the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Linguistic, we're talking about language and programming. So the way I like to think about it, Lisa, is kind of like a computer. Right, so we've got a laptop sitting on the bench here right now, and you type some stuff in and things just happen, right? Because someone has written code, not something I could do.
Yeah,
someone's written code in the background so that when we do something, we get the outcome that we want. So you press on the letter A on the keyboard, and what we know to be an A comes straight up on the screen. And that's because someone has created that message.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to press an A and get a different outcome, like we want to get an X on the screen, then someone has to go into the background of that computer and recode it so that when we click that button, we get that outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially that's what we're doing with NLP. We need to work out what the outcome is that we want, and then we need to reprogram essentially our mind to get that outcome. And we can do that through our language.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a very simple example would be, if we're talking about anxiety, of course, is that what we often focus on is what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the first things that people say to me when they come to me is, I don't want to feel anxious anymore. And I'm sure you've probably heard, where the focus goes, energy flows.
Absolutely.
So what we focus on, we get more of. And anybody who's familiar with the law of attraction will be very familiar with that as well. So if we're focusing on the fact that we don't want anxiety, we're still focusing on anxiety. So we need to redirect that. We need to rewrite that story. So, you know, just as an example, I might say, well, instead of feeling anxious, I want to feel calm, relaxed, confident,
mm-hmm.
fulfilled, whatever it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to start using different language, telling myself a different story through a variety of methods to mm-hmm. achieve that outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially rewiring our brain, reprogramming our brain to achieve the outcome that we want.
Yeah. I remember, and I can't remember if this was the example that was given by the people that I did my course with, or if I've just been saying it so long that I think I've made it up. I'm not going to take that away from them. But I always kind of explain it a little bit like, your brain has obviously a bunch of different pathways,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that we've been using, you know, for a really long time are like, you know, paved highways.
Yeah.
They're very easy to walk down. I'm definitely sure this was not my example. Yes, this was definitely their example.
Yeah.
So they're very easy to walk down, but they may not be actually the best one for us.
Mm.
So if we want to start taking another pathway, perhaps it's covered in tree branches and it's rocky and it's dirt. But the more times we choose to take that path, the more times we walk over it, you know, the trees start to clear, and we've, you know, walked over the ground so much, now it's nice and hard.
Yep.
And eventually it becomes easier to take that path.
Mm.
than it was to begin with, and then eventually you don't even think twice about it. That's the way right. I kind of yeah. explain it when people ask me.
I love that explanation. I often use that myself as well.
Yeah. See, I didn't make it up. I'm sorry.
No, it's not yours. I'm sorry. But it's a great way to explain it. And, you know, I even like to suggest that we have to use tools along mm-hmm. the way to hack back those branches and to, you know, stomp the ground down. Mm-hmm. We don't just walk it. And it yeah. happens. There's effort involved.
Yeah.
There's work involved. But I think you said at the beginning something like, you know, without effort, nothing changes. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. Yeah, you said yeah. something like that. And so if you want to make change, you have to do something different.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to understand, like I said before, it's not enough to know what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You must understand what it is that you want instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very... what's the word? Confronting question mm-hmm. for a lot of people. And I remember thinking this as well, and it happens with my clients all the time. It's like, okay, so it's not like where do you see yourself in 10 years, but it's like, well, when you get to the end of your life, what do you want to have achieved? What do you want to look mm-hmm. back and say, I did this, I accomplished this, this is my legacy? And if you're not ready for that question, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. And it's like, good, I'm going to help you figure that out, and then we're going to create all these new neural pathways for you so that you can achieve that outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I find the whole topic just so interesting, and like I've used it many different of the tools in different ways over the time, but one of the ones that I've used especially over the last maybe 12 to 18 months was I started to see 11-11 everywhere, like always yeah. on my phone, or 1-11.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided that every time I would see that, I would stop and I would say, depending on where I was, either in my mind or out loud, different affirmations, depending on what pathway I was attempting to change at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it originally started in that I had created a story that there was no good men.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is very like, you know, and I had created that as a reality in my life, because yeah. to say there are no good men isn't correct.
No, it's not a fact.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. So I had used this tool originally for that, but more recently I've been working on my self-worth, which has been an issue for me pretty much my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do when I would see the 11-11 or the 1-11 was that I would stop and I would say out loud, I am worthy and I am deserving and I am loved and I am, and just go over and over in these I am
mm-hmm.
Sentences and hacking away the trees mm-hmm. on the other path and walking up and down and trying to sort of make that pathway a lot clearer.
Yeah.
Until it clicked over to 11-12 or 1-12. And that was just like one little tool that I found really helpful, so I just yeah. thought I would share that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's plenty of other ones that are similar.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many tools mm. and I love that you share these with your listeners, because mm. it is about finding what works for you. You know, we've got lots of tools that very basic tools that everybody's heard of.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually ancient tools, but we like to complicate things these mm. days.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can be the simplest thing. If affirmations work for you, use mm-hmm. them. If journaling works for you, use, and actually for me, that's a non-negotiable. And I mean, that's a whole other podcast, I reckon, talking about that, but you know, and meditation, mm-hmm. breathing, but finding what works for you. Cause you know, meditation, for example, a lot of people just go when you say that word. And again, that's a whole other conversation. But if you find raking leaves on your driveway relaxing and meditative, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Start with that. Mm-hmm. Just start with something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And asking questions is the most important thing. Get curious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was actually talking to somebody else on another podcast recently, and we talked about this. What's the most important thing you can do, or what's the best strategy for beginning change?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, be curious. You know, start asking yourself questions, and not just questions, but better questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the what's, how's, not the why's, because we automatically say, well, I don't know why, right? But if we ask ourselves how, what, when, where all of these questions, then we can start to get to the root cause. And that is what NLP is all about, as you will know, mm-hmm. is getting to the root cause. Because anxiety, for example, is a symptom. It's not the problem. It's the end. It's how we feel and it's causing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the actual problem. We need to dig a little deeper to find the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if you're finding yourself doing affirmations and you're still not changing that neural pathway, then there's a reason for it. Perhaps you don't truly believe that you're worthy or that there are any good men out there because your brain has the evidence to show you.
Yeah.
Because of previous relationships or mm-hmm. things that happened when you were a kid or the beliefs and the values that you took on from your caregivers, parents, all yeah. of that. So, but you've got to dig deeper.
Yeah. yeah. And sorry, it's ahead. About bringing that, you've got to have the self-awareness, yes. right? And that's where you get to, I guess, like you were saying, by being curious.
Yes.
If you just accept things as they are, nothing's ever going to change.
100%.
You have to be doing that asking the, but what, well, not but why, sorry, but like, I guess, how did we get here?
For what purpose? Yeah. Is a great question to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think it's just so interesting. Once you start going down this rabbit hole of NLP, it's like, it just, for me, it opened up so many doors. It explained so many things
yeah.
by being able to do the work.
Yeah. And I think it can be scary. I'm sure yeah. you'll know this. I'm sure it was mm-hmm. for you. It was for me. You start mm-hmm. asking yourself these questions, and I do hear this from people saying, oh, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to open up that can of worms. I don't want to let that out. I don't want to revisit it. And NLP, as you know, it's not about reliving the trauma. That is so, we're so far from that. But it's about allowing yourself to see the situation from a different perspective, to learn the lesson. What can you learn from it? Because there is a lesson in absolutely everything, even the really, really bad stuff. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's probably where the biggest lessons are.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't allow ourselves to go there because we're afraid of what might come up, unfortunately, it is going to come out at some point anyway. And that's because we store our emotions in our body. Right. I love the saying, the issues are in the tissues.
Oh, nice.
If
yeah.
If you work with a massage therapist or, I've got a friend who's the face yoga coach and she works on people, the tension in people's faces. If you store all of that negative energy in your body and you say, no, I'm not dealing with that, it's going to stay there forever. Well, I've got bad news for you. It will find a way to come out, and that's how dis-ease
mm-hmm.
happens. You know, I had a stroke. Why did I have a stroke? You know, I've got to ask myself that. Why did that happen? Now, I've got an answer from the doctors. They said, well, you were on this medication. It's it happens. It's a byproduct of that medication. And that might have been a contributing factor, but I've got to ask myself, what was the real reason? What was my body trying to tell me? What we do now, as in We Moonbeam Monday,
mm-hmm.
it all culminated 2.5 years ago when my mum was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Now, no cancer is good, right? Mm-hmm. But ovarian cancer is known to have very poor survival rates. So that was the catalyst for not only my mum, but for me as well to take a good hard look at things and realize, well, what have we or haven't we been doing over the years that has created contributed to, what's happening in the body right now. So I get that it can be scary, mm-hmm. daunting, confronting, and it can hurt for a bit. It might be a bit painful, but how much are you hurting right now?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to feel better? Because you could go through this for a short amount of time and come out with a really great outcome.
Mm-hmm. So obviously neuro-linguistic programming had a huge impact on your life. Mm-hmm. So what were the things that were, I guess, the most poignant or had the biggest contributing factor for you in your journey?
From an NLP perspective?
Yeah.
I think it was just what I was talking about a moment ago, I guess, is that I was able to see the things from my past in a different perspective. It was actually understanding how my brain was working, what it was doing. You know, that's why I love, you know, some of the programs that we run, because, you know, we have some group programs where we're not doing private one-on-one coaching to get to the root cause of what your issue is, but we're educating people. You know, that's our mission, is to help people revolutionize the way that they think so that they can create the life that they want. And so for me, it was learning how my brain works, why I think, say, and do the things that I do, and then learning some very simple techniques to change those. But then it was also doing the deep dive, you know, doing the things like timeline therapy, belief changes, aspect therapy, to release these emotions and look at it from a completely different perspective and go, all right, that was a pretty crap thing that happened, but what I can see that comes from that now is this thing, and I can use that to my advantage now.
Yeah, I think it's just such an interesting topic.
Oh, I think anybody who doesn't find this fascinating needs to ask better questions. Yeah.
Be more curious.
Yeah.
So other than, I guess, using the NLP practices, what are the things that you do now to take care of your mental health and manage, you know, everyday things?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we've been talking about this a lot lately, resetting and recharging. You know, I think we talked about this at the beginning, Lisa, is that we're all so busy. Okay, I hate that word. I don't use the word hate very often. I really don't like the word busy. And anybody who knows me, whether friend or client, no, they don't even use the word in front of me anymore. Like busy, I'm like, what a crap word. We're so busy. We have so many things on. We feel like if we're just sitting around doing nothing, then we're not utilizing our time. We're lazy. All of these stories that we tell ourselves, we've got the guilts. And so we pack our lives full of stuff, and often it's stuff that doesn't light us up, doesn't bring us joy, doesn't fill our cup, whatever, you know,
terminology
you want to use. And what we actually need to do is connect with ourselves again. And this is where I've experienced this myself, still experience it. Just because I've done a lot of work on myself doesn't mean I've solved every problem. I still need help. Coaches need coaches, right? And so it's about connecting with ourselves, slowing down, connecting with ourselves, and learning how to communicate with ourselves. And the biggest part of communication is listening. But it's not just listening to respond. It's actually hearing what we have to say and what other people have to say. So this goes for ourselves and for other people. And this brings us full circle back to connection. Right? So it's not just connection with other people. It's connection with ourselves. So what are some of the things that I do? I am very much more aware. Now, if I'm feeling a certain way, I'm going to stop and listen to that. You know, in the past, I might have gone, no, I haven't got time to feel down or whatever it might have been. And I'll sort of lean into that. You know, I'll be more upfront in saying, I need a day. And where I can, I understand that not everybody's in the position that I might be in working for myself. If I need a day, I'll take a day. Or if I realize that I'm perhaps feeling quite stressed, I'm going to look back at the things that have helped me in the past. And for me, it is moving my body. So whether it be going for a ride, going for a walk, sometimes I know that I need to talk. So I'm going to find the right person and I'm going to have a bit of a vent. I don't do that often, but sometimes it gets to the point where I need to do that. But I'm selective of who I choose. I journal. I get it out of my head. That's the biggest thing that we do, is we keep all of this stuff in our head. I don't care what you call it, journaling, diarizing, putting notes on a piece of paper, whiteboarding, just get it out of your head. But probably the biggest thing that has changed for me and something that I'm really aware of is my language. The biggest part of NLP, right? Linguistics. I am very aware of the language that I use, whether it's negative or positive. I will pull myself up when I hear myself saying something not so positive or that has a limiting belief behind it, like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, no, hang on a second. Mm. Let me reframe that. And I'll do that in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go, let me reframe that. I can't do that yet, but this is what I'm doing to change that. So that is probably the biggest thing. And now that I've created that neural pathway where I do that, I hear it, I pick it up, and I reframe it, it just happens naturally.
Yeah. I think this is such a great talking point around language, and it's something I've also done a lot of work on. Like, I can remember I always used to refer to myself as a quitter. Like, growing up, I was very lucky and I was able to try many different activities. My parents were able to send me to dance and send me to piano lessons and send me to basketball and all these things. And I always, you know, would do a season and then quit because I wasn't, quote unquote, good at it.
Yeah.
Right? I wasn't good enough. So like, but I don't know at what point me as a child thought that you were only ever just going to be good at something immediately. And that not, like, I don't know where she learned that she didn't have to learn a new skill.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've worked a lot around, instead of, you know, falling back into that language of being a quitter and labeling myself that, and sort of, I guess, taking the path of learning things and saying that, you know, it's okay that, you know, you're not great at this yet.
Yes.
And if anyone follows me on socials, like, they will have seen, you know, I actively choose to do things now to prove myself wrong, almost. Mm. So, like, you know, even just doing the bodybuilding competitions, at some point I would have said to myself, I could never do that. Mm. That's too hard. My body can't look like that. I would quit, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
All the horrible things we say to ourselves.
Yeah, the mean girl.
Yeah. And, you know, once you've done something and proved yourself wrong, or if you want to look at it from the positive side and prove yourself right, and then I can learn it, it changes things completely. And recently I've taken up skipping.
Oh, good for you.
Like, jump rope skipping.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One was, again, to sort of prove to myself and show myself that I'm capable of doing something that I don't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also because I think I read something about how learning new skills staves off Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So I'm actively trying to take care of my brain.
Yeah.
And I hope that was the correct thing I was thinking of anyway.
Yeah, dementia. Use it or lose it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, by just learning new things, we're also taking care of our brain, right?
That's right. 100%. And I think this is a really, again, this goes back to what was the biggest thing for me. It was learning how my brain works.
Yes.
And we've got to remind ourselves of this, don't we, Lisa, is that from the day you were born, you have been learning things,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is, I'm so familiar. I mean, everybody's familiar with this story, I'm quite sure. But we've all got things where we've gone, oh, I can't do that. My body won't do that. Or, you know, I could never look that way. Whatever that story is for you. But we can actually learn anything, but it takes time. It takes practice. It takes consistency. You taught yourself how to walk. Now, that's probably one of the most incredible things that, like, a 9-month-old can learn how to walk. You taught yourself how to speak English and potentially multiple other languages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you do it the first time you opened your mouth? No. You know, some of us still have trouble with it. We've been doing it for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
But it's like that saying, anything worth learning takes time, or anything worth doing takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to learn a different language, you go to classes, you have to practice. It doesn't happen overnight, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is called a practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't, even if anybody's read the book by Jay Shetty, Think Like a Monk, you know, he even puts examples in there about how when he was in a monastery, is that what you call it?
I think so.
Yeah, and he was a practicing monk. There were still days where he couldn't, you know, bring his thoughts to where he wanted to. He was thinking about that conversation that he had with another monk, or the, mm-hmm. the shopping list that they had to go out and get. It takes practice. Everything mm-hmm. takes practice. Mm-hmm. So we've got to remind ourselves when we feel like we're failing,
mm.
you know, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, another one of those sayings is that without failure, you can't succeed,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's never a failure. It's just one step closer to achieving the outcome that you want. But now you know perhaps what you won't do next time, you'll do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening today and they are now a bit intrigued around NLP,
mm-hmm.
I guess what sort of suggestions would you have for them?
So somebody who wants to make changes themselves, or someone who wants to learn about NLP?
Or maybe make changes themselves.
Yeah. Well, number one, of course, is start getting curious,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's lots of things that you can, you know, listen to, read, mm-hmm. start educating yourself. Now, mm-hmm. this depends if you want to make impactful and lasting change yourself. You can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've had enough of the way that you're feeling, you want to make change, you know that something's not quite right and you're ready to actually go, yeah, I'm good, let's go, then get help.
Mm.
Work with someone like me.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, you can do this yourself, you can make changes yourself, but it will take you a long time.
Yeah.
If you want to make instant changes, you need help, you need to work with someone. And that's why we have things like we've just recently launched our Mind Masters membership. And this is probably for people who just want to dip a toe in the water. You know, I get it, that the thought of going all in and private coaching, you know, for 6 or 12 sessions can be, you know, especially for people who feel anxiety, mm-hmm. feel anxious, it can be a bit overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we developed this membership model, is because it's all about educating people. So we pick a different topic each month and we educate you on what's happening, how that works in your brain. And then we have exercises so that you can start making changes yourself. And then we do a little bit of group coaching as well. So mm-hmm. you get a bit of a taste of it. And when you start going through that, like you would have noticed this as well, and I was the same, when you start seeing some of the changes and understanding it better, you go, ah, mm-hmm. I get it. I can see the impact this is going to have, and you might take it further.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go all in at that stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my tips there are A, get curious, mm-hmm. and B, if you want to make change now, work with someone.
Yeah. And, like, I'm just having a moment of reflection in my own life and, you know, I keep referencing on my social media and things like that, you know, I've had a huge change in my life over the last 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think such a huge part of that has been through the learnings that mm-hmm. I've had from NLP.
Yeah.
And taking charge of the fact that I can change my life through the way that I think.
Yeah.
And that I don't have to be a quote-unquote victim to the mindset that I've had mm-hmm. in the past, because I can change it. And that's just had a huge impact on absolutely everything in my life. It's made me a better person. It's made me a happier person. Mm-hmm. And when I think about my mental health, there are many contributing factors that keep me, when you think of the sliding scale of mental health, on the happier
mm-hmm.
side of things.
Yeah.
And that, like, I feel like I'm having a realization just because of all the conversation that we've been having.
Cool.
Like, yeah, I've seen a psychologist, and yes, I do all the little one percenter things. Mm-hmm. They're one percenter for me in mm-hmm. terms of, like, you know, getting enough sunlight, getting enough water, getting enough all the right food, all the those things.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing that's had the biggest impact has been working on my thoughts and my yeah. mindset and my brain. And I just can't recommend it enough. If you can't feel the energy yeah. that's coming out of me right now, like, honestly,
yeah.
and it's been through the learnings that I've had. It's been through the podcasts that I've listened to mm-hmm. around the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, if anyone out there is listening to this and they're intrigued, 100% go down that rabbit hole. I feel like we've talked about rabbit holes so much today. But, like, yeah, I just cannot recommend it enough. Like,
your brain controls so much of your life. And so if you can learn how to make different pathways, learn how to make better choices, or how to be kinder to yourself in the way that you think, you can alter your reality by doing that.
Well, that goes back to that wonderful quote by Gandhi, if you're familiar with it. And it's a kind of a long one, but I'll take you through
it.
Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. And your values become your destiny.
Mm.
So essentially what that is saying is what you believe...
Mm.
And then, therefore, what you think creates your reality. Your thoughts create your reality.
Mm.
So it's about taking charge, like you said, of what you think, because you can create any outcome you want, no matter what you've been through, no matter what is in your past. Your past does not equal your future. It only equals your future if you make the choice to allow it. And it comes down to choice. We all have a choice. And so when you think, that's my favorite quote, right? Because it's so logical to me. And I think that's one of the things that I love about NLP is that it has a logic to it. I've never talked about it with someone where they've gone, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. I mean, I might have to explain it a different way, but most people, they go, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so with you. I can feel your energy. I can see it. I can feel it. I'm buzzing as well. Because, you know, I could talk about this for years. But that's the thing is, it is, like you say, it's going down that path. It's making that choice to get involved, be curious. And I highly recommend anybody who's interested, you know, make some inquiries.
Yeah.
About it, and starts asking themselves those questions and realizing what they have the power to change.
Mm-hmm. And like, there's so much information readily available. It's like in 2024, if like high school me could see how easy it was to find information these days, I would be mind blown. So you can look stuff up on the internet. You can find information about NLP. You've mentioned that you do the group.
Yeah, we have, like I said, it's called our Mind Masters membership. Mm-hmm. It's a monthly type membership, and you can easily go to our website, moonbeammonday.com.au, and have a look at that. But we've also got a reset and recharge retreat coming up.
Ooh.
I know.
Retreat.
It's a day retreat. So it's about 4 hours or so. So again, you don't have to, if you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious or exhausted, which, look, so many people are. I think when I first wrote to you, you know, when we were talking about catching up, I was really exhausted. I'm still feeling it a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's feeling that way at the moment. Bit of a generalization, but a lot of us are feeling very exhausted. And so this is about taking that time to just take some time for yourself, a bit of self-care, reconnect with yourself, reset and recharge. It doesn't take a 2-week holiday in Tahiti, even though I would never say no to that, to do that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to think, oh my goodness, I've got to take holidays, I've got to find the money, I need to sit by a pool with a cocktail. You don't have to do that. Actually, all it takes is you could spend 3 or 4 hours at our reset and recharge retreat. The next one's going to be on Sunday, the 19th of May. And what we do there was we just give you an opportunity to stop, to pause, to learn a little bit about what we've been talking about. We go through a beautiful meditation, and it's all about bringing your stress levels down. It's the beginning of eliminating anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one we held, we had somebody came in. We always calibrate at the beginning. She said, oh, at the moment in my life, I'm feeling about an 8 out of 10 stressed and 10 being high. 8 out of 10. And by the time we went through what we went through, I had a beautiful day with about 20 women. She's like, oh, I'm at a 3 now. And it's like she floated out on a cloud.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got that coming up. It's a great way to give back to yourself. And it's a good way, like I said before, to dip your toe in the water.
Yeah, yeah. And do you do one-on-ones as well, or what other ways can people work with you?
Yeah, yeah. So private coaching is the ultimate way to get what you want.
Mm.
So if you're not happy with the way things are at the moment, whether it's struggling with anxiety or whether you're just in that position, as a lot of us have been or are going, I'm a bit stuck. Like, you know, I've got a good life. Like I said, I had the car, the house, the travel, everything. But I didn't know what direction I was going in. So you might be in that position too, feeling like you don't have a fulfilling life. A lot of, you said the word guilt before. A lot of us feel like we should feel happy or happier or be happy with what we've got, but something's missing. And that's when I work one-on-one with people in private coaching, and we really get to the root cause of what is causing that. And then we help people create that strategy to achieve that outcome that they want. So that, you know, we talked about neural pathways. We figure out what it is that you want, and then we help you clear everything that's holding you back from achieving that and the strategy to create that.
That's incredible. Yeah. And it's like anything, like having a coach there to help you through and to keep you accountable and to maybe shine a light on different things that you can't see yourself, you're going to have a different level of result, a faster result, a more impactful result than doing something on your own, you know? So I just think there's a huge, you know, definitely a huge impact to be had by working alongside a coach.
Definitely. And because we're working with the unconscious mind, which if you don't understand the unconscious mind or how to access it and how it makes a change, then that's why it's going to take you a lot longer. And so we're able to access that very quickly. That's what we do in private one-on-one coaching specifically. And there's plenty of like testimonials on our website of people that have been through this and the changes that they've seen, created, the outcomes they've created. So anybody's welcome to jump on the website and have a look at that.
Yeah. And so how can people find you?
So I've talked about the website. So that's moonbeammonday.com.au, or just jump on socials. You know, we're on Insta and Facebook at Moonbeam Monday. We love hearing from people. We love connecting with people. So by all means, please reach out. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. And I'll make sure all of those things are also in the show notes. And if you like, I'll also tag you on my socials as well. So it'll be super easy for people to find you. I think we'll wrap it up there. Sure. I honestly, I feel so energized after this conversation. I love being able to have a conversation with someone else around NLP who gets it and has done a lot of that work, obviously, themselves. And guys, seriously, like if you're feeling called to this, or if it's, you know, struck a bit of piqued an interest of some kind, seriously, just reach out to Rebecca, reach out to myself. Like I said before, this has been... NLP has been the reason I've had such a huge shift in the last, you know, couple of years of my life, and I highly, highly recommend you start to explore it as well.
Great recommendation. Thank you, Lisa, for having me and allowing me this time to talk about what I love most, what really lights me up.
Yeah, and again, thank you so much. I'm so glad for this new connection that we have, and I'm certain that it's not going to end today. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Lisa.
And guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I know you're going to love this episode because I love it, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Doei! If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave me a 5-star review. Even better, if you know someone who might benefit from listening to it, please tell them all about it. You'll find more information from today's episode in the show notes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on High Tide, Low Tide, please email me at Lisa, spelled L-E-E-S-A, at hightidelowtideau.com. Or DM me on Instagram at hightidelowtideau. See you next time.